Okay, we're on Nun Vav Amid Beis, 56b1, or in the English it's 112, 5 lines in the top of the page is the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah we learned last time, just quickly, Mekadosh Ba'arla, Beklei HaKer, Mishar, and Niskel, these are all things that are forbidden to benefit from. Arla is the first 3 years of the tree, Klei HaKer is if you mix wheat and grapes, Shar HaNiskel is an axe that killed the person and therefore is supposed to get stoned. Egla Rufa is when you find a dead body outside a city, you measure it to the closest city, take a calf, chop off its head. Or Tzipurim Mezerda, the birds that a Mezerda brings after his leprosy. Or Vesar Nazir, the hair of a Nazir. Petach Hamerd, the firstborn male of a donkey. Or Basi V'chol of meat mixed with milk. V'chulin Shenishchdu Bazara, or Chulin, meaning non-consecrated things that were shechted in the Azara, in the Beis HaMikdash. So all of these things ain't a mekudeshes. Okay, the Mishnah says it's not a good kedushin because none of these things are permitted to benefit from. And therefore, like we learned last week, if it's forbidden to benefit from, it's ownerless and it's valueless. Okay, value means you could benefit from it. Something the Torah forbids to benefit from, it's valueless. And therefore, all these things are valueless. So if a man gives a woman any of these objects for Kedushin, he basically didn't give her anything. But then the Mishnah concludes, what happens though, Machron v'kiddush b'dameihem, what happens if he took any of these objects, sold them, he wasn't allowed to, but he sold them and got money for them, and gave the money to a woman, then the din is it's a valid Kedushin. Why? Because even though he wasn't allowed to do it, but the money does not become forbidden to benefit. Like if you take meat and milk, mixed, right? So you can't benefit from it. If I sell it to somebody, I'm not allowed to because I'm not allowed to benefit from it. But that money is not forbidden to benefit from. So therefore, now that he has this money and he gives it to the woman, he's giving her money. So it's a valid kiddush. Okay. No, I'm saying if he did it, he's not allowed to sell it.
He knows about it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But if he sold it, bottom line is, as we'll see more in the Gemara later, the bottom line is, it's valid because the money is valuable. He wasn't allowed to do it, but the money is valuable.
Which one is it?
I'll give you another example. If a guy works on Shabbos, he's not allowed to, but he makes money. Okay, guy sells something on Shabbos, he made money. Now he takes the money after Shabbos and does Kedusha with to a woman. Yeah, it's a valid Kedusha. Either money came about to you by you doing a sin of working on Shabbos and making money. Doesn't matter. Bottom line is money, and it's a good kedusha.
In korbanos, if you're not allowed to exchange the.
By korbanos is a separate din. If you exchange it, in fact, the guy's going to use this later.
Money I exchange for a dog or something like that.
Yeah. Then both remain holy.
But you're not allowed to buy the hardest money.
Correct. But that's a completely different din. Here we're not talking about kedusha. Here we're just talking about, is it value to it? It's a good kedusha. If it's no value to it, it's not a good kedusha. Okay, so this is what we learned last week. Now the Gemara is going to go through each one of these things in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah basically is saying a statement, it's asur bana. You're not allowed to benefit from it, right? So the Gemara says, how do you know all these things are forbidden to benefit from? So Gemara says, Ba'arla minayin, minolan. From where do we learn that Arla you cannot allow to benefit from? So Gemara says like this, because it says, by the din of Arla, Arelim, lo yeyachal, there should be, Arela means forbidden for you, lo yeyachal, you cannot eat it. So the Torah says clearly, Arla, the first 3 years that the tree produces fruits, it's forbidden to benefit, to eat. So then the Braisa continues, I only know that you're not allowed to eat it. How do I know you cannot benefit from it either? So the Gemara says, or, I'm sorry, meaning, but you cannot benefit. But you cannot dye something with it. Or you can't light a candle with it. Talmud Laimer, the Torah says, you should treat it as a forbidden thing, meaning there's an extra pasuk that says "Araltam es arlosi." The Torah already says it's forbidden. Then the Torah adds another pasuk; it's forbidden. What is the Torah adding? So Gemara says that not only is it forbidden to eat, it's also forbidden to benefit from. because there's an extra pasuk. Then the Gemara says, "B'klai akedem minolon." How do I know that if you have wheat mixed with grapes, that it's forbidden to benefit from? So Amar Chizkiya, because Chizkiya says like this. Amar Krat says, "Pentigdash." Okay, by wheat with klai akedem is called wheat with grapes. The Torah says, "Lest it'll be." Tigdash. Tigdash literally means forfeit. Meaning, they says though, Tigdash, what does Tigdash mean? It's two words. Tukad Eish. Let it be burnt by a fire. Meaning like this. The Torah says, Pentigdash. Meaning, lest you will forfeit it. But Tigdash, the Gemara says, means it should be consumed with a fire. And just if it becomes consumed with the fire, it's worthless. So same thing. Here the Gemara learned out that it's valueless, you cannot benefit from it. That's what the Gemara says until now. But now Rav Ashi says, okay, in other words, the question is like this. The Torah says you have to burn it, right? Why do you have to burn it? Sell it, use it. So obviously, if the Torah says you have to burn it because you can't benefit from it, the only thing you could do is burn it. Rav Ashi Amad, Ravashi says, no, it's a different reason. Because it says, Penya Kredish. But Kalaya Kerem, it says, lest it will be consecrated. Now, Hegdish, right? Hegdish is forbidden to benefit from. And the Torah calls the mixture of grapes and wheat, Kalaya Kerem, also Pentigadash. So it implies it's just like Hegdish. So he says, so then the Gemara asks, 1 minute. If that's the case, then the money should also be no good. What we just said. But just by Kedish. The money becomes holy when you redeem Hegdish. The money becomes holy and the object isn't. Right? The Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah said, any of these things, if you sell it, you could give it the money. But if Kalaya Kerem is like Hegdish, then the money should become Hegdish. Right? And then you wouldn't be allowed to give it to the woman because you can't give her, you're not giving her anything. The fact that the halach is not like that, Mechavata Kidachiskiya. So Gemara says the real reason is like Chizkiya. Meaning, Chizkiya says, how do we know Kalaya Kerem, wheat and grapes, is forbidden to benefit from? Because the Torah says Pentigdash. Tigdash means it will be consumed with a fire. The Torah says you have to burn it. Why does the Torah say you have to burn it? Because you cannot benefit from it. And by the way, just to clarify the halacha, if you're burning it, you can't use it as fuel for your oven. Because then again you're benefiting from it. You have to make a separate fire that you're getting absolutely no benefit from it. Like, I'll give you an example. If somebody finds chametz on Pesach, you have to burn it, right? But you can't burn it in your oven as fuel, right? Because then you're benefiting from the chametz. You have to just burn it in a separate fire, that you're not getting any benefit from it.
But if you're a pyromaniac and you like to watch things burn,
then you have to have somebody else burn it. What's wrong?
By Orla, the same thing as
Nohana. Orla's Nohana, or Claire Kerem's Nohana.
Is Halof Afayna this too?
Yeah.
Orla also?
United Israel.
Okay.
Well, it's Midrabanan here, so it's Midrabanan.
I mean, the halacha, like, if somebody wants to do, like, kiddushin with it.
You can't. In other words, if you plant a tree in America, here, yeah? So the first 3 years, not when it gives fruit, the first 3 years of the tree, yeah, that there's fruits, you have to let the fruits fall off the tree and just rot. You can't give it to your housekeeper, you can't sell it, that's benefit. When you give somebody a gift, that's also benefit.
If you leave it and goes underground, it also helps the tree grow. That's,
yeah, but you're not doing it. It's fell off by itself and you're not doing anything.
What if someone asks for them?
You can't.
But what if they say, can you have them, like...
Well, it depends. If it's a Jew, you can't eat it. If it's, yeah, a non-Jew, you can't say you can take it because then... When you give a gift, there's a relationship created, built. So that's benefit. Because,
okay,
then they'll reciprocate and whatever. So you can't... Yeah, but the only difference is, Ola in Chutzar Simid Rabbanan, In Eretz Yisrael, it's even today is Minat Torah.
Milk and meat, chametz on Pesach, and another one.
But all these things here. No, the Mishnah is saying a whole bunch of other things here. Klakadam, Arla, Nadumar is going to share a Niskel. Yeah, in a practical sense today, what's practical for us, meat and milk, chametz and Pesach.
Non-kosher wine,
yeah. I mean, there's a lot more things, but Arla, like the city, can't benefit either. That's why you can't, if you have, just a case of Batsam Chalav, a practical case. If you have dog food, that in the ingredients is
milk and meat. From a kosher animal.
No, it doesn't have to be a beef.
Yeah, and a kosher animal. But
not shachted. If it's from a kosher animal and it's cooked, made together with milk, you can't. But if it's pig's milk and pig's meat, let's say you have dog food that's made out of pig's meat with milk, that is permissible to benefit from.
Yeah. Only pigs? Kosher animals, huh?
Only kosher animals.
But pigs, if you have a dog, you only have kosher dog food?
No, but you can't have dog food that has meat and milk in it. Because you can't benefit from it.
What if he has chametz on Pesach?
Also a problem, sure.
And you can't have pig meat and pig milk together in dog food?
That you could do.
That you can do?
Yeah. You can have pig's meat with cow's milk also. You can't eat it, but it's...
How would you even know that? Unless you ask...
It's the ingredients. Yeah. On the Pesach books, they have lists of kosher dog food and cat food. And
well, let's say you go to one of those animal places and you pick up dog food.
So you have to look at the ingredients.
You have a dog?
No, but I know someone who does it and work for them and has a dog.
I know a lot of two-legged dogs.
That too, but
okay. Now the Gemara goes into an interesting thing. There's a din like this. Shoran Nisko is, like we said, an axe that killed a person. So the Torah says you have to stone the axe. Okay? So the Mishnah said, such an axe is forbidden to benefit from. Okay? Now, Minayin, the Gemara says, how do we know that a Shoran Nisko you can't benefit from? So it says, the Tanya, because it says in the Braisa like this, the Torah says you have to stone Bezdin. Has to stone the ox. Don't they know it's a carcass of an animal, right? And nevelah is also bachila. And nevelah is also to eat. So now look at this. The Torah says by the Shoran Nisko, lo yoyachal. You cannot eat it. So where's this 1 minute?
Can't eat it anyway.
You can't eat it anyway. It's stoned. It's not shechted. Why does the Torah say lo yoyachol? To include even benefit. Again, it's extra. It says the nevela zematam aloyim lo yoyachol as psadei. Why does the Torah say you can't eat the meat? So now the Gemara is going to the interesting thing first. Minayin shim shal. It teaches us like this. What happens? I'll tell you to the outside first. This axe kills a person. They have to bring the axe to Bezdin. That's what it says. Okay, Bezdin ruled, you need to stone the axe. You need to stone it. A guy, Chochem, goes, and before they take it out to stone, he shechts it. So now, it's a kosher shechita. Can you eat it?
No.
Why? Because the Torah says, lo yoyochel.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we're not adding benefit. The Gemara, the Braisa asks a question. If the Torah says stone it, why does the Torah have to say don't eat it? It's obvious you can't eat it. So Gemara says no. The case would be, what happens if before they stoned it, somebody shechted it?
Or before they ruled that you have to kill it.
No. We'll soon see. But after they rule you have to kill it, that's when it becomes the ox, right? So after they ruled, then somebody shechted it. Now, technically, it's not an avail anymore. It's shechted. So maybe I would think you can eat it. So it says, like, Magid Loch, it teaches us, Shimshoch Tei La'ach HaShenig Medini, that even if you shechted it after Bezdin proclaimed that you have to stone it, even though they didn't stone it yet, so I would think that you can eat it. Also, Bachilah, so the Baisa says, Lo Yoyachol. Then the Brisa continues, but no minayin. But how do I know you can't benefit? Okay, first the Torah says stone it. Then the Torah says don't eat it, even if you shechted it. So now the Gemara says, how do I know you can't benefit from it? So it says, Talmud Leimah, the Torah says, Ubala Sharnoki, the owner of the axe is clean. Yeah? It says, after you stone the axe, the owner of the axe is clean. Yeah, what does that mean? My mashma, what does it mean? So it says, Shimon ben Zema Eimer, Shimon ben Zema says like this. The Torah is saying, a man tells his friend, the guy got clean out of his properties. They cleaned him out. What does it mean? You can't, he can't bet, it's not yours anymore. The he has no benefit from it. So Gemara says like this, by Shoran Isko, first you stone it, then the Torah says you can't even eat it, even if you shechted it before the stoning, right? And then the Torah says, Bala Sharnoki, the owner of the axe is clean. So Gemara says, what do you mean clean? He's cleaned out of that property, it's not his. He doesn't own it. And if he doesn't own it, it means it's Asabana. Therefore, if a guy does Kedushin with this axe, it's not a valid Kedushin because he didn't give her anything. Then the Gemara asking this. Mimai. The Gemara asking this. Mimai, how do I know? The high leyochel psori. What does it mean, don't eat it? That if he shechted it after Nigmadine, if he shechted it before they stoned it. After the din was, that's what it's coming to teach us. Maybe it's coming to teach me a different din. What din? Maybe the truth is, you would be allowed to eat it if a guy shechted it. You tell me, lo yoch means that if a guy shechted it after Besdin said, stone it, before the stoning, you can't eat it. The Gemara says, no, maybe you could eat it. I the Torah says lo yeyochel. That means something else. What does it mean? And this that says lo yeyochel, that you can't eat it. Teicha the sokli miskul dasa, meaning is coming to tell us that after it's stoned, you can't benefit from it. Why could Rabbi Abu Amar Rabbi Lazar? Like Abu the name of Rabbi Lazar, the Amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Abu said name of Rabbi Lazar. Anytime the Torah says don't eat it, don't eat it, don't eat it, any one of these terms, it means you can't eat it and you can't benefit from it. Unless the Torah clearly tells you by Nevela that you could. Meaning like this. The Babu says the following statement. Forget our Gemara for a second. By a dead carcass of an animal, okay, the Torah says, lo yoyochel, you can't eat it. And what do you do with it? La kelev tashlich anoise. Give it to the dog. Correct? That's what the Torah says, don't eat it. Dead carcass, an animal drops dead, okay? The Torah says, don't eat it, but you can give it to the dogs. Now, Rabbi Abu says, if the Torah says, don't eat it, what does that mean? Don't eat it. Why would I think he can't give it to a dog? The Torah says, don't eat it, give it to a dog. Now, if the Torah just said, don't eat it, why should I think you can't give it to a dog? Why would I think you can't give it to a dog? So Rabbi Abu says, so you know what you learn out from here? That when the Torah says don't eat, it means even benefit, unless if the Torah clearly says you could, like by Nevela. The Torah says throw it to the dog. That means according to Rabbi Abu, learns like this. When the Torah says don't eat it, it means eating and benefit. Unless if the Torah says, like by Nevela, la kalef tashlichu naisei, throw it to the dog, then the Torah says you can benefit from it. But if the Torah just says, don't eat, It means everything.
Maybe Torah wants to give the dogs benefit. Reward the dogs for... You learned that, right?
Yeah, but the Gemara's not going into that. You have a valid point. The Gemara's not going into that now.
What's the page, Rabbi?
112. So the Gemara says like this. Hani mile hecha de nafke isse mechil mele yochel. The Gemara says you're right. When does lo yochel mean benefit? When you learn out that you can't eat from the word lo yochel. But by sharanis kol hochet isra achila misokol yisokol nafke. It says stone it. Right? So it says, the yisokol daidach li isra noho. If you tell me lo yoyochel, means you can't benefit, not you can't eat, you can't benefit, let the Torah write, don't benefit. Why is the Torah writing, don't eat it? Lo yoyochel, as sorry, lomali. Why does the Torah say lo yoyochel? I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Alpha gav the shochto, that even if you shecht it, it's still forbidden. Meaning like this. Coming back to explain this whole piece of Gemara which you just learned. The Mishnah said, Shodaniskel, a stone, an axe that killed somebody that you need to stone it, is forbidden to benefit from. Therefore, you can't do Kedushin with it. The Gemara is saying, how do we know that Shodaniskel is Asibano? So the Mishnah said, because it says, Lo Yoyochel, don't eat it. And the Gemara asks like this. This is very important to understand the Gemara. The Baisha says the following statement. Shodaniskel, meaning an axe that gored somebody, Bezdin, bring it to Bezdin. Bezdin said, "You killed an axe, killed a person, you killed the axe." By the way, Rashi says in Mishpatim, Rashi asks the question, from the Gemara, what did the poor axe do? The axe had no free choice. Yeah, a guy kills somebody else, he killed him because, you know, he had free choice. Well, what do you want? Why would he killing the axe? Well, what did he knows what he's doing. So Gemara answers, you're right. But the fact that something bad happened to the person through this axe, you have to kill the axe. Huh? The fact that something bad, a guy died because of this axe, you have to kill the axe. It's not a punishment to the axe. It's just that this axe caused the person to die, you gotta get rid of the axe. That's the bottom line. So the Gemara says, it says, Sokol yisokol asher, lo yeyochel es besari. Don't eat it. So Gemara says, why does it say lo yeyochel? If you're stoning the ox, of course you can't eat it. It's not shechted. Why does it say le'yochel? So the Mishnah said, the Braisa said, it comes to teach me a new din. That what happens if somebody went and shechted the ox before they stoned it? In other words, it came to Bezdin, Nigmar Dinai. Bezdin ruled you have to stone the ox. And the guy right away had a knife in Bezdin. They didn't have security, Jackson. Guy has a knife in Bezdin, shechts the behema. So I would think you can eat it. So the Torah says, lo yeyochel. Okay? Then the Gemara asks, how do I know it's also bano? So it says, bala sharnoki. He's free, meaning he's cleaned out of his property, as if he doesn't own it. Okay, that was the proof that the Gemara said, that sharnaniskel is forbidden to benefit from. Therefore, if a guy does kedushin with sharnaniskel, it's not a valid kedushin, because it's worthless. So the Gemara says, how do you know that lo yoyochel means that if I shechted it before the skila, I can't eat it? Maybe not. Maybe if I shechted it before the skila, you could eat it. What does lo yoyochel mean? That you can't benefit from it. Like Rabbi Abu says, when it says lo yoyochel, it means benefit. Tumar says, no. If you're learning out no eating from the word lo yoyochel, then it means eating and benefit. But if eating, you will learn out from sokol yisokol, right? Then lo yoyochel does not teach me it's also bano. Lo yoyochel teaches me that even if you shechted it before the stoning, you still can't eat it. So that's why the Gemara says the only way we learn. So therefore, the Gemara is coming to a few conclusions over in din. Number one, shadan nisko is also bano. Secondly, even if you shechted it before, which is not relevant to Kedushin, but this time the Braisa, if you shechted it before the stoning, you still cannot benefit from the, you can't eat it.
So shouldn't the halacha be if an ox gore somebody and kill somebody, you're not allowed to eat it unless you bring it to Beit Din? Bring the ox to
You have to bring the ox to Beit Din anyway, the Torah says.
But before that, he's a suspect, just like a human suspect.
I don't remember the halacha now. It doesn't happen every other day here. And I don't remember if somebody shechted it before Beit Din ruled.
If the guy even shechted it before the ruling of the
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what the halacha is if a guy shechted it before the ruling of the Beit Din. I don't remember.
That's even more sneaky.
I don't remember what the halacha is.
When the Torah says, after that, give it to the Caleb, how do you know it's Asur Bahana? Maybe Dafka, you have to give it to Caleb.
That means you can benefit from it.
But that's not the benefit. You have to give it to Caleb.
This could be your dorm too.
No, maybe it's a command. You have to give it to
Caleb. No, by the way, the Torah says to... No. If you look in the Chumash, there says two things. Lakelef tashlich anoisei, amachal simkarenin lenachri. You can do two things. Torah says either throw it to the dog, or give it, sell it to a guy. So Torah says clearly you can sell it.
Can you sell
it? I mean, like we know, chazir you can't eat, but you can benefit from a chazir. You can wear a pigskin belt, pants, football. I mean, you know, pigskin is not also bad, no.
Could you sell it to a goy to make dog food? I mean, a Jew to make dog food?
No, because you're benefiting from it.
I mean, for a regular beast.
No, because you're still benefiting from it.
If you sell it, you benefit.
If you, even if you give it as a gift, you're benefiting.
1 second, you said you're allowed to benefit.
What?
No, this is a trade for food he's talking about.
Trade for food you can benefit from.
Yeah.
You could benefit from trade.
So you can sell it to a Jew to
meat make dog milk or...
No, an animal that dies in the field, not that you...
Yeah, 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 yeah. You can give it to a Jew, as long as he doesn't eat it. But, there's another halacha, you can't make business out of non-kosher... In other words, a Jew is not allowed to own a non-kosher slaughterhouse. That's forbidden. But there's nothing to do with these dinim.
What about supermarkets selling non-kosher items, okay?
It's a very big halachic shaila.
Oh. So owning stocks, let's say, in...
Stocks is not a problem.
Stocks in McDonald's or something?
In what?
Stocks is not a problem.
Stocks in McDonald's.
Owning stock.
In McDonald's.
Yeah, the trade culture.
McDavid's, he means.
McDavid's.
Yeah.
McDavid's. I'm talking about the trade for
I understand. If you are sit on the board, you have a shaila.
But you can drink coffee, though.
But shares are okay. You can't do primary... Even a kosher slaughterhouse... A lot of times the animals are treif. Right? The shechit is no good or something happens in the inside of the animal. But that's not their primary business.
A lot of people own gas station, car wash.
There's a very, very big shaila.
About what?
The items. No, the items in the food.
In the food bar. Gas stations.
What is culture food in those gas stations?
No, they said hot dogs.
Not for hot dogs, I'm talking about this is candy, there's other
good, stuff. I'm saying. But if they're doing primary business with trade for meats, like for a Jew to own 7-Eleven is not so simple. I mean, you leave it to halacha, there's ways around, you know, you sell to the guy. That's so simple. Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. Maskevla mazutra mazut. Huh?
Sorry, one technical question.
Yeah.
Is there any reason sometimes says minalon, sometimes says minayin? Like, some of them says minalon.
No, that's not.
It's the same.
Yeah. It could even be, by the way, Aramaic grammar, depending what the words are before or after. Okay, maskul or marzutra. Marzutra said like this. The hey, mani, mili, maybe. This din says like this. Maybe the din that you can't eat the meat of a shor haniskal if it was shechted is only if you shechted it with a rock. But if you shechted it with a knife, maybe you could eat it. No, because the pasuk le'ei yochel, the Gemara said, teaches us you can't eat the meat of the shor haniskal even if you shechted it. Right? So Gemara says, 1 minute. Maybe you can only not eat it if you shechted it with a stone because it looks like stoning. But if a guy used a knife, maybe you could eat it. The Gemara says like this. Hech the badak tzur. What happens? If he inspected the rock and he saw the mazik is killer, because then it looks like stoning. Maybe if you shacht it with a knife, you could eat it. Sigmar says, midi sakin ber isiksiv. Does the Torah ever say you have to shacht with a knife? Explain the seconds. Vatanya said, Bryce said, bakel shachtin. You can shacht with anything. You can shacht with a rock. You can shacht with glass. You can even shacht with a reed of straw. In other words, it's not done today because it's very not practical. But technically, if you have a very sharp piece of glass, okay, you can do shechita. Then it'll be kosher shechita. If you take a rock and sharpen the rock, you know, you can have a very sharp rock, you can do shechita with it. So Gemara says, what are you asking me? That maybe there's a difference if you shecht it with a rock or you shecht it with a knife. So Gemara says, where does it say in the Torah you have to shecht with a knife? There's no difference between a knife and anything else. Why should there be a difference? If the guy shechted the animal with a stone, you can't eat it because it looks like stony. But if shechted with a knife, you could. He said, what do you get such a difference between shechita? By the way, you could do a bris milah also with anything. Tzipora did a bris and Eliezer with a stone. The Gemara is saying there's no difference between shechting with a stone and shechting with a knife. Where are you going to get this difference that stoning and that the Torah says lo yachol is only if you shecht it with a stone, but if you shecht it with a knife, where does the Torah say there's how to shecht? The Torah doesn't say what you need to shecht with. The Torah says you could shecht. So what's the difference? There's no difference between anything.
Well, how can you shecht it? The Torah says you have to stone it. I don't get this point.
No, a guy went ahead and did it.
He was a killer.
The animal was supposed to get stoned?
Yes.
A guy ran, thank you. A guy ran and shechted the animal. Thanks, thank you. So the Gemara said, you can't eat it. So I said, but maybe that only means if you shechted with a stone because that looks like stoning. So I says, come on, where do you get this difference between a stone and a knife? There's no difference. Okay, so now the Gemara says, has a different question. Hash the nafaklon isra chilevisa no from leyochel. The Gemara says like this. Now that we just learned by Shara Niskel, right, that you can't eat it, and you can't benefit from the word loyayochel. So now the Gemara says, what do we do with the balashar noki? The Gemara before said, you learn out you can't benefit from, because it says the owner is, but now we know already from loyayochel that you can't benefit from it. Right? So why do I need balashar noki? What does that teach us? So the Gemara says, la noris erei. To teach me you can't even benefit from the hide, from the skin of the animal. Why? Sal kadai tach, I would think the Torah says lo yeochel es besorei ksiv. You can't eat or benefit from the meat. Avol besorei osu, the meat is forbidden. Ve'orei mutter, but the hide is allowed. So therefore the Torah says balashar noki, you can't even benefit from the hide of the animal. That you can benefit from the meat, we learn not from lo yoyachel es besorei. But now you want to, both balashar noki teach us, that you can't even benefit from the hide of the animal. The whole thing is forbidden.
The one that kills someone else.
The ox that kills a person. Not another ox.
You can't sell it.
No, it's just to stone it and throw it out.
And same with any animal you have to stone. This rule or this only?
Yeah. Well, this is the only animal you have to stone. Idol worshipping, but the
idol worship and like relations.
Oh, you're right. Same thing.
Same thing.
Same thing.
But if a dog kills somebody, they kill the dog, don't they?
Yeah.
Do they give the hide to the dog? By the way, if it's killed, the stoning.
No, it's forbidden to benefit from.
So just throw it.
Throw it out.
And halachically, the only animal we have to stone is an ox.
Yeah.
Not a sheep that kills him.
No. I mean, you kill it, but I don't think it's stoning. Okay, now he says like this. But there are other tanoim, lohanich tanoi, the mafka hay balasher noki, lechotzi kefir v'ledmei v'lodis. That, okay, the case is like this. This is a little megillah. We learned already in the past, there's what's called tam, and there's what's called mu'ud. Tam is the first three times an axe gores, okay, it's called tam. Tam means it's out of the ordinary. Most oxen just don't go around goring people, okay? So the first three times, therefore, the owner pays half damages, correct? After three times, and he was warned, then the shor becomes a mu'ud, which means now you're responsible for anything that happens. Full damages. Okay, that's the difference between tam and mu'ud. Now, that if it kills full time, he has to pay full. Now, if an animal kills a person, okay, the owner has to pay kefir, which is redemption fee. It's a redemption fee for the person you killed. So there are opinions in the Gemara that says a tam, just like he pays half damages, he pays half kofar. If he killed somebody, he pays, let's say Bezdin evaluates the person's $100, so you would have to pay $50 for the price that he killed. Now, so it says what happens, or like he says, Dmei Volodis, or he kills, has to, he's exempt. So Bala Sharnaki here means like this. The opposite of what we're learning now. If an ox kills a person, you stone the ox, right? Does he have to pay half damages? So it says no, because it says Bala Sharnaki. He's free. He's innocent. Or if an ox gores a pregnant woman and the fetus comes out, right? There are opinions that say he's exempt from paying the half of the fetus also. Because it says Bala Sharnaki. He doesn't have to pay anything. Okay? The concept of kefir, according to these opinions, is only by a mu'id. When an animal killed three times, then you have to pay kefir and you have to pay the money of the kids and so on and so forth. So the Gemara says, Hanos eidem inolohu. In other words, it's a very simple question. The Gemara just got through saying, Bala Sharnaki teaches us that you can't even benefit from the skin. Right? So Gemara asks, but there are other people that learn Bala Sharnaki for a different din, so therefore it's not extra. From where do we learn that you can't even benefit from the skin? Because that we don't have a pasuk according to those opinions. So the Gemara says, we learn it out from Es Besari. The Torah could have said Besari. Lo Yeyachol Besari. Es includes, it's an inclusive word to teach me not only the meat, but even the skin. So Gemara says the idach, but the other opinion that learns it out from that pasuk, what does he do? Why can't we learn it out from Es Besare? He says Es Leidarish. He doesn't learn the word Es. And the Gemara is going to say it's a very famous Gemara that the Gemara is saying now. Yitanya, we learned in a brisa like this. It says Shimon Amsuni, Shimon Amsuni, or some people say it's Nechemio Amsuni. Hayadeirish kol asin shabateira. Okay, now let me explain. In Hebrew, a lot of times the Torah uses the word es. Okay, for instance, start from the beginning of Chumash. Bereish is bar lekim, es hashemayim ve'es haaretz. Now grammatically, the Torah could have said Bereish is bar lekim hashemayim ve'haaretz. Okay. So these rabbis came along and said, every time the Torah uses the word S, it's an extra word, and we include something. So for instance, they said, Es HaShemayim means the heaven and everything in it. Es HaAretz, the earth and everything in it. Whenever the Torah says, or like it says, Es Achiv Es Hevel, meaning the twin sisters were born with them. Whenever the Torah uses the word S, these rabbis learned something from the extra word S. Okay? For instance, Kabed in Ten Commandments. Kabed, Es Avicha Ve'es Imecha. The Torah could say, Kabed Avicha Ve'imecha. Why does it say Es Avicha? Include older brothers, in-laws. I mean, there's a lot of things that different opinions learn up. So these rabbis said, S teaches us something.
Is that from the Sinai?
Yeah, 1 second. Yeah. Kiv and Shegiah, when they came to the Pasuk, S Hashem Alakecha Tira, it doesn't say Hashem Alakecha Tira, fear God. It says S Hashem Alakecha Tira. They said, what minute, God? What are we going to add to God? So they said the very things, great thing, Pirush. They said, okay, we take back everything we learned. Amaloi Talmidov, so the Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, Kol Asin Shetarash the Matei Aleichem, what's with all the S's and Tuna that you learned? You taught something. I mean, now all of a sudden you're changing your mind. I mean, like, in other words, you got stuck on one S, therefore all the other S's are worthless. And he said a very profound statement. Kshem Shekibalti Schar Al Adrisha, just like I received reward for learning it, Kach Kibalti Al Adrisha. The same way I'm going to get reward for being quiet, for taking it back. In other words, this Nehemiah I'm Sunni or Shimon I'm Sunni, whatever it is, they said, listen, just like, so what do you see from there? That this opinion learned something from S. But some opinions don't learn something from S. And the rabbi that learned S himself changed his mind and said, now can, until Achibar Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva saved the day. And he said, what does it mean? Es Hashem Alekecha Tira, the Rabbi is Talmidei Chacham to include scholars. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva said, this S can also teach us something. Not only do you have to fear Hashem and respect Hashem, you have to fear and respect scholars. So Rabbi Akiva kept the tradition going, so to speak, for the S's. But what do you see from this? That there are certain opinions that learn the word S, and certain people don't learn S. So the same thing by us. He says, Lo yoyochel es besorei. So if you learn S, if you use the learning from S, it teaches us not only the meat, but even the skin. But if you don't learn it, so how do you know the skin? From Balashar Naki.
Isn't this halakha Moshe with Sinai?
What?
To how to learn from S?
Not necessarily. No.
Kavacham?
Mm-hmm.
So all Kalachomot are not from
it? By the way, the bottom he brings down from the Mephoshim, they say, you know when Rabbi Akiva learned this? After his 24,000 students died because they didn't respect one another, Rabbi Akiva said, oh, now I understand what the Pasuk says, S. You need to respect Talmidei Chachomim. And the fact that they didn't, that's why they died.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
It says, perhaps Rabbi Akiva came to this realization after witnessing the punishment that befalls 24,000 students who died because they did not treat each other with sufficient respect. So then Rabbi Akiva said, S includes Talmidei Chacham. Generally speaking, by the way, in the Gemara, most opinions do derive things from S. In the Gemara, you have a lot of dinim that we learn out, even today in Halacha, like I said, Kavet es Avicha v'simecha. Teachers, you have to respect older brothers, older sisters, in-laws, because S is an extra word.
It's also all through tough and everything.
Yeah, but...
it's all the letters of the alphabet. All through tough.
Yeah.
Each one, I understand.
What?
There is a ban, hashur, no tea. So each one explains it differently. It depends if
one person learns Balashanoki that you don't get the skin. Another opinion with Mar said Balashanoki that he doesn't have to pay half for the kids and then for the, you know, fetus and then for the half kaifer. So different people learn different things. But one thing, the Gemara is coming to a definite conclusion that Shara Niskal is also Bana. Right, the only question do you learn not from this word or that word, but bottom line, it's Asa Bano, and if it's Asa Bano, you can't do Kedushin with it. Because then it's, you know. Okay. Then the Gemara says, another thing a man cannot be Mekadosh to a woman with is Egla Rufa. Right, you find a dead body outside of the city, you don't know who killed it, you measure it to the closest city, The elders come out this calf, they chop off the head, and the Egla Rufa is over there. The Gemara is going to learn it. You can't benefit from it.
Never happened?
Yeah. I mean, the Gemara doesn't say it never happened. Ben Sayyid Umar, the Torah says, never happened.
It's awesome. It's
strange,
no? Huh? It's strange.
Why is it strange?
You can't plant in that area.
Right.
If you plant in that area, can you benefit from what the plants?
You probably can't.
Like if somebody plants wheat, use wheat for Kiddushin. That's not too far.
Yeah, then you plant. No, it's definitely probably a good Kiddushin. Okay, so Gemara says Minola, and from where do we know that Egla Rufa is Osibana? So it says Amr the Devei Rabbi Yani, the Shiva Rabbi Yani said, because by Egla Rufa the Torah used the word Kapara, forgiveness, which means that it's just like Hegdish. Just like Hegdish, the Torah says V'chiper, the kind the carbon forgives you, and by Egla Rufa it says V'chiper. You know, if the city that didn't take care of this person, so therefore we learn not like Hegdish. Not like Hegdish is Asibana. This would be also Asibana. You can't benefit from from the Egla Rufa. Okay. Then the Gemara says Tipoyim Mitzayda. Okay. The Mishnah says that if a man does kedushin with a woman with the birds from a Mitzayda, it's also not a valid kedushin. So Gemara says, Minolam, where do we learn it out from? So it says, the Tuan of Rabbi Shmuel, the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel said, Nem emach shiru mechapim mibifnim, by inside the Beis HaMikdash, by Korbanis, which was, you know, to eat Korbanis. It says the word, machshir u mechapir. Okay? It says over there, most Korbanis are an atonement, right? Now, the Mitzera, when he brings a korban, it's not to forgive him really. It's just to allow him to start eating korbanis. Because the leprosy itself forgave him. Right? The punishment was the leprosy. This that he brings a korban after the leprosy is over is to allow him to go back to korbanis. Now it says, V'nemer machshir u'mechaper b'chutz. And it says the expression of make qualifying and atoning for the things done outside the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Meaning like this. One carbon he brought, the Mitzayra permitted him to eat korbanis. Another thing that he did with birds, one bird he sends away, that permitted him to come back to Yerushalayim. So he says, Ma machshir mechaper omer b'fnim, also be machshir kemechaper, just like we make the things that allow him, like the korban that allowed him to start eating korbanis. We make it like a regular din of hegdish, which is forbidden to benefit from. The same thing, the ones performed outside, like sending away the bird, that the mitzvah has to send away the bird, that is also similar to hegdish, and therefore just like hegdish is asur bahana, you can't benefit from it, the same way you cannot benefit from the birds of mitzvah.
What
lashon Torah exactly used? What lashon Torah used for Sipurei Nesora? What page you want, by the way? 57A1. Okay. Second column.
Yeah.
Huh?
The Torah uses
Machshir Mechaper. Yeah.
The Torah says this word?
It's not the words Machshir Mechaper. Some of the Torah says by Metzeda, some of the Avodah he does allows him now to go back to Yerushalayim. One thing, it allows him to eat korbanis, which is the expression machshir. The Torah doesn't use the word machshir. But it's the Aveda that machshirs him, and then there's a kapara. So just like there's inside kapara and inside this, but the Torah likens both things together. So therefore, the same thing with the birds of a mitzera, yeah, those are also like in hegdish, and therefore just like hegdish or egla rufa for that matter. You cannot be Mekadosh a woman with it, the same thing, you can't be Mekadosh a woman with the birds of a Mitzayda. Huh? Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Tzipeirim mitzeirim meimasi asurim. We just got through saying in the Mishnah statement that the birds of the mitzeira are forbidden to benefit from. Okay? That's what, I mean, the Mishnah said it, but now the Gemara learned it out from the Pasuk, right? Let's see one thing here a second. Okay, now, just to clarify the birds, because we have to understand it for the Gemara. Okay, part of the procedure of the Metzeda is he takes two birds. One bird you shecht, the other bird you take and dip into the blood of the animal you shechted, and the second bird is set free. Okay, so now, the Gemara says the first bird that you shecht allows him to eat karbonis. The second bird that you sent away, a live bird that you sent away, is now allowing him to go back to Yerushalayim. Okay? Now, one thing is for sure, as it's brought down before, the shechted bird is for sure forbidden to benefit from. Whether the second bird that you send away, that's the debatable argument. In halacha, is it or not? But the animal that you shechted is for sure. Okay? So now the Gemara says like this. When does this bird become forbidden to benefit from? When you took it or when you shechted it? That's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. When you take the bird, you have to shecht it. The other bird you send away, right? Now, everybody agrees that when you shecht it, for sure it's forbidden to benefit from. Because we just learned it out from a pasuk, right? But the question is does it become asir ba'anah even before you shechted it?
Before you shechted it, don't you designate it?
Yeah, but the question is...
The designation doesn't...
No, well, that's the question over here. Tzipeira mitzera meimasi asurin. What are they forbidden to benefit from? Rabbi Yechanan says, mishashchita. When you shechted it. Okay? Because you shechted it, but the other bird that you didn't shecht, right? That you're just dipping into the blood of the shechted animal, then you let it go free. That's permissible. It's not forbidden to benefit from. They're both forbidden from the time you take it. But the second bird, when you send it away, then it becomes permissible. What difference was it make? It can make a very big difference, and I did. What happened? The guy designated two birds, right? And one bird he gave kedushin to a woman.
Was this bird before it was sent out? Or
Before.
I don't think it's possible.
Now, according to Rabbi Yechanan, the bird's not asir ba'anah because he didn't shecht the first bird yet, right? Rabbi Yechanan says both birds become forbidden when you shecht it. Then when you send it away, that bird becomes permissible again. The Shlaki says, no, the second you designate the animals, you take them, they're already forbidden to benefit from. So if a guy does kedusha with a woman at that time, it's no good. Because it's already asir ba'anah. You can't benefit from it. It's already, even though you didn't shecht it yet, but you took it, it's a problem. So, Rabbi Yechin amar mishah shechita. Rabbi Yechin says in the time of shechita, why? Because shechita da asrila. What forbids it? What makes the bird a karbon? The shechita. So until the shechita, it's not asir ba'anah. The shlok isham and mishas lekicha me'eg la'rufa nafka. You let it out from the egg la'rufa. Because we compared again, the Gemara just compared egg la'rufa with the birds of Mitzayda. Ma egg la'rufa mechayim, just like egg la'rufa becomes forbidden. When it's alive, okay? So the same thing, because the Gemara said before, egg la'rufa is like a korban. Now, just like the korban, when you designate it as asur ba'anah, so the Shlokish says, if you're likening the birds of Mitzrayim to egg la'rufa, then it's like a korban, right? Then you need to, then it's forbidden from the time you take it. Rabbi Yechonah says, no, it's not a carbon. Until you shecht it, in this case, it's not a carbon because it's only to permit you to eat carbonis. But it itself is not a carbon. So Rabbi Yechonah says, when you shecht it, that's when it becomes asr. But before you shecht it, it's mutter. Rish Lakish says, no, it's like Agla Arufa. Just like Agla Arufa, even when it's alive, is forbidden to benefit from. So the same thing here. So the Gemara says like this, Agla Arufa gufa meyamasa. Hey, 1 minute, when does Agla Arufa become forbidden? Before you chop off the head, or after you chop off the head? Amar Rabbi Yanai said, he said this, Gvul shamati bav shachati. I heard the law, but I forgot it. He could just make up quiet. Rabbi Yanai says, you know, I heard the din, but I forgot it. V'naz ben chaver leimar, and the friends of his chaver in the yeshiva said, Yiridasa l'nachal eison, hi asrasi. Taking it down, okay, it has to be down, brought down to a rocky, untilled valley. So the guys in the Beis Medrash said that's when it becomes forbidden. When you take it down to the rocky valley, that's Nachal Eisa, that's when it becomes forbidden.
Which word?
No, Egla Rufa. Oh, yeah. The calf for the guy who killed somebody.
You have to be learned from the pasuk, or?
Hmm?
Where they learned from?
They just said it.
What do you mean, take it down to the valley?
The Torah says,
to the
yeah, you have to take it to a valley that nothing ever grew in, where it's rocky.
That's
where you chop off the head.
Oh. Very graphic.
Yeah, it was a pretty gruesome.
This bird is shechted, or they use the finger thing?
Shechted, it says. It wasn't a carbon.
So in other words, it's shechted like an animal that's being shechted for meat, but it was a full decapitation.
What, the egg or the birds for the matzeda? No, they cut off the head. They didn't shecht it.
Was it from the
pine knife,
from the
cross?
How did they do it? So what did I think? In other words,
it was a full decapitation. Yeah.
Was it meant to cause the animal pain, or was it done in a way that's similar to shechting?
The neck is broken. Well. Even the mitzvah is not actually a carbon. But the Rabbi Yechonah says, we learn out from a pasuk that's like Egla Rufa, so therefore when you shecht the bird, it's forbidden to benefit from. And Rish Lakish says, no, it's from the time you take it. And then the Gemara says, when is Egla Rufa forbidden? When is Egla Rufa forbidden? So Gemara says, when you put it down to the valley. So Gemara says, 1 minute. That means when you take it, it doesn't become forbidden. So why did Rish Lakish say, when you take it, it becomes forbidden? The birds. Rish Lakish says, with the second you designate the birds, they become forbidden, because we learn it out from Egla Rufa. So Gemara said, but Egla Rufa itself is not forbidden until you take it down to the rock. Okay, so Gemara asked this. Ima Egla Rufa Mishatsu Kichol Mitzi, if Egla Rufa doesn't become forbidden when you take it, then the birds also, so why is Rish Lakish saying it? So Gemara says, Hoch Yash, what's the comparison? Hasam by Egla Rufa is the Gvul Achrine. There's a different dividing line, meaning when you bring it down to the Hard Rock Valley. But Hacha, there's no other avoid it. You take it and then you shecht it. See, by Egla Rufa, there's a process. You take it, then you bring it down to the valley, then you chop off the head. So you say, okay, then you have different boundaries. So it's not forbidden by when you take it, it's forbidden when you take it down to the valley. But by the birds, you take it and you shecht it. So there's no other boundaries. Taking it is like bringing it down to the valley. So the Rish Lakish says, therefore over there would be forbidden. Okay.